Welcome. It's our Money Sense program for another week. I'm Brent Laux, joined today by Sean Meschke. Sean is a portfolio manager with PWM Private Wealth Counsel, IA Private Wealth. How are you doing today, Sean?
I'm good, Brent. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. Glad to have you on the show. And today, we're going to put you in charge of looking back on the past year of 2021. And we're looking at some of the market highlights from the year, I guess.
That's right. We will go through what happened throughout the 2021 calendar year and talk about some of the major news events and how the markets responded to those new events.
Looking forward to it. A backwards look into the crystal ball, and we'll take a quick short break and we'll get right into it with Money Sense in just a couple of minutes here. Welcome back to our Money Sense program. Brent Laux joined by Sean Meschke, Portfolio Manager, PWM Private Wealth Counsel, IA Private Wealth, looking at some of the news and market events and their impacts on people's portfolio over the past year. And with that being said, Sean, where do you want to start?
Well, let's go back to the start of the year. And if we all remember, at the start of January 2021, everyone was wondering, when will we be receiving the COVID vaccination and which vaccination they will receive?
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a portfolio manager, we started to think about how this will affect the economy and what areas of the stock market will react the most, both positively and negatively. However, while most people expected the stocks to go higher, I don't think everyone thought they would continue to rise at the pace that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And now looking back at it, it is forever going to be referred to as reopening trade.
The reopening trade. I do remember thinking, when will I be receiving my vaccination and how effective it would be. So let's talk about that reopening trade.
The reopening trade involved the companies that were forced to shut down their doors and comply with government-mandated restrictions. And as the world started to get vaccinated, we saw these companies start to reopen their doors slowly and under government-mandated rules and requirements.
Yeah, I remember when things started to open up and having that choice to go out again. So what were some of the companies that went through this doing?
Well, there are many, but just to name a few companies include Carnival Corporation, Macy's, Cineplex, and Air Canada, as all these companies saw similar volatility in their stocks, falling from their 52-week highs anywhere from 60 to 80% in value in March of 2020, before they started to climb again. Many of them had to restructure their corporations just to make it through.
Okay, and then how have they performed this past year, 2021?
In 2021, they still saw volatile times for a lot of these types of stocks. For example, in Air Canada's case in 2021, the stock increased during the first half of the year before pulling back in the last half of the year, making the change very minimal over the calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in a case like Cineplex and Macy's, we have seen their stocks see similar volatility but continue to be trading higher over the course of the year and have seen double-digit returns in 2021.
Interesting to see how some of these industries were able to still perform during that reopening. What's the next topic, Sean, that you want to talk about from 2021?
Well, another major news event that hit the markets back at the beginning of January was the start of what's called the meme stock phase. These were stocks that were left for dead and started to gain traction from social media chat groups.
Yeah, that was crazy. I remember this hitting the news and talking about it on my radio show. I believe one of those that really got the attention was GameStop, right?
Yeah, that's right, Brent. GameStop, as well as AMC and even BlackBerry here in Canada, gained new interest at the start of 2021, which was all being generated from an app called Reddit.
Mm-hmm.
Within this app store, there was a discussion group called Wall Street Bets, and they posted their feelings about certain stocks. In efforts to build hype around the stock, it would cause others reading it to buy it and drive the stock price higher. The stocks they tended to create the discussion groups around did have one similar aspect in common, though. And that was that there was a larger than normal short interest in that position.
Yeah, that was crazy stuff to watch. So what is a short interest, and why was that important for these stocks to have that, Sean?
Well, instead of buying the stock initially, people can choose to sell a stock even though they do not own it. When you sell a stock, you have to disclose the purpose of selling it. And if you do not own the stock already, it is considered that you are shorting it. When you take all the number of the shares that have been sold short and compare to the total number of shares that the company has, you get what is called the stock's short interest percentage. Now, why this is important is because when you are short the stock, you have essentially borrowed it from someone else who has already bought it.
Oh.
And if the buyer of the stock wants to sell it, they can force the short position holder to give it back, which means they were forced to buy the stock back. This is commonly known as what's called a short squeeze in the industry.
This is interesting. So you're telling me, Sean, the short seller then has to buy back the stock, and this would only cause more buying?
That's right. And so when you have the hype being generated from the meme stocks from the discussion threads, plus now the short seller is being forced to buy back the stock, it caused the position to so-called rocket in price and shoot to the moon, as some of the sayings would go on the Wall Street Bets chat.
That made for some interesting times. So how are these types of stocks continuing to perform now?
Well, in the case of GameStop and AMC, they have seen very significant returns for 2021. While BlackBerry is still currently up for 2021, it has not performed to the same extent that the other two positions have. Now, it may be said that in the United States that there was a trading platform called Robinhood that was allowing for people to trade without charging any commissions, and that helped fuel the GameStop and AMC stocks compared to how BlackBerry performed. But whatever the reasons may be, traders had made very significant returns if they had timed it right. But on the other hand, all three stocks are well off from their highs, and if you did not time this correctly, you could have lost significant amounts as well.
And, you know, I just had the thought when we look back on what happened there, Sean, you know, this isn't real. This is almost like gambling for a lot of these people that were involved in this at the time, right?
Exactly. So yeah. You got to be careful.
You want some experts on your side, and that's what you get when you deal with Sean Meschke and the team at PWM Private Wealth Counsel. On our Money Sense program here this weekend, we're looking back. Sean is discussing some of the highlights and maybe some of the lowlights as well from the markets over 2021. We're taking a quick break, and we're back with more Money Sense in just 2 minutes. Welcome back on our Money Sense program. Just about the end of the year, and we have Sean Meschke, Portfolio Manager at PWM Private Wealth Counsel, IA Private Wealth, with us. So we're carrying on the topic here. Sean is looking back at some of the interesting things that happened in the markets over the past year of 2021. What have you got for us now, Sean?
Well, the next topic I was going to talk about was some of the significant IPOs, or also known as initial purchasing offerings, that happened throughout the 2021 calendar year. In North America alone, we had over 1,000 IPOs in 2021, as this year has been one of the largest money-raising years in history for the markets. And if you remember, we were just talking about Robinhood before the break.
Yeah.
They were one of the big profile names that went public.
So how did their stock do?
Well, unfortunately, it was one of the underperforming IPOs in the market for 2021. In the first couple of weeks, it was trading like one of the meme stocks, and you really saw the stock start to climb. But, however, as the year went on, the stock began to retreat and is now trading below its opening IPO stock price.
Have you got a couple of other IPOs we can look at from the past year?
Yeah, one of the more successful IPOs in 2021 was a gaming platform called Roblox. And if any of your parents or grandparents are out there, they likely have heard this gaming platform from their kids or grandchildren.
Roblox, so R-O-B-L-O-X. This is where I'm under the loop on it. Can you tell me a bit about this company?
Yeah, it's a really neat gaming platform that allows young gamers to create, develop, and monetize games for other players. They have all sorts of games, from doing laundry, to doing dishes, to delivering pizzas, where you can earn the game's monies performing these tasks. Kids can even build and design houses. But the funny thing I find is watching kids do laundry or doing dishes on this gaming platform, yet trying to find them doing that in real life, good luck.
Isn't that always the case? And you said this was a successful IPO. How successful was it?
Well, depending on the day, the stock has over doubled from its initial offering price. But for the average investor who could only get in once the stock started to trade, you would just be under a double from the stock since the IPO date at the beginning of March.
Wow, that's still a pretty good return. Any others that you'd like to point out to us here from 2021, Sean?
Well, the last one I was going to talk about was one of the more controversial ones that took place in 2021. It was a company called Didi. Didi is a Chinese ride-hailing company, which is very similar to Uber here in Canada and the U.S. It was listed on the U.S. markets under an American depository receipt, also known as an ADR. And ADRs are a way for foreign companies to gain access to international capital while allowing others investors to gain access to foreign companies without having to purchase them on foreign exchanges.
Hmm, that's interesting. So it's DDDIDI. So what made this price offering, this IPO, more controversial?
Well, the company decided to go public on the last day of June, which corresponded to the 100th anniversary of the Chinese Communist Party. And while the initial day, this was a very successful IPO, a few days later, the Chinese Cyberspace Administration had ordered the company's app to be removed from the app stores, citing issues with DiDi's usage of customers' personal information.
Ooh, so Big Brother came knocking in China. I'm guessing that couldn't have been too good for the stock.
You are correct, and this saw the stock start to fall. There had even been news articles that the Chinese government had asked the company to take it back privately over the course of the year. And at the beginning of December, it was announced that they would delist from the New York Stock Exchange in favor for a listing on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange.
So this sounds to me that was more of a political confrontation maybe between the U.S. and China than really relating to the company's performance?
That's correct. With the U.S. being the largest market in the world and China is number two in size, the rivalry between these two countries is like Canada versus Russia in hockey for us Canadians. Well, the data collection process that is happening with these IT companies is causing the two countries to be at each other's ends. There's even a belief that there could be national security risks. But whatever the battle may be about, I will say the ongoing conflict is having its effects on the stock market.
In a good way, the tech stocks, they've been performing quite well through the year, haven't they?
Yes, the majority of the North American tech companies, such as Apple, Google, NVIDIA, to name a few, all have been performing well, with most of them up double-digit returns for the year. However, the Chinese tech companies that have been listed on U.S. exchanges have not been performing well. Companies such as DiDi, which we have just previously talked about, as well as JD.com, Tencent, and Alibaba, to name a few, have all fallen double digits in 2021.
That's fascinating. It'll be interesting to see what does come forth here in 2022. We're on the topic with Sean Meschke, looking back over some of the market highlights over 2021. I've often heard the sell in May and go away slogan for the stock market. Did you see that happen this year, Sean?
No, it didn't. However, it is a common phrase that is thrown around each year around the May time frame, as the stock markets historically tend to slow down during the summer months. However, this year, the market continued to climb over the traditional May to October time period, with October being one of the best months of the year.
Yeah. What do you think was causing the markets to continue to keep going up?
Well, it's hard to say exactly, but we saw central banks do a really good job at guiding the market from shifting their focus on stimulating the economy to laying the groundwork and directing the market they'd be starting to pare back their bond purchasing program. The transparency and tone that they used gave confidence to investors to continue purchasing stocks,
mm-hmm.
Where another reason could be due to inflation. As costs for goods and services go higher, the stock market tends to be a good hedge against inflation for those companies that can pass on these costs to the end consumer. And typically, they see their shares go higher.
I know a lot of us are feeling the effects of higher inflation in Saskatchewan these days with higher gas and food prices that always seem to be on the rise as well.
That's right. I know we all saw gas prices shoot up this year. But other things also shot up as well, like lumber, food, and even used cars. Many of the increases were due to supply and demand fundamental changes, while others were due to broken supply chains. If you take energy, for instance, if you remember back in 2020 when COVID caused the governments to close the economy, oil futures actually dipped negative for the first time in history. At that same time, almost all oil and gas companies virtually stopped exploration of new oil, as they were doing everything in their control to cut costs because there was an oversupply of oil in the market.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fast forward a year, the supplies of those oils have now been decreasing, and oil companies are still reluctant to be drilling and bringing on more oil. While at the same time, the world's daily demand needs for oil are back to the pre-pandemic levels.
And how did you see the markets reacting to this?
This was good for stocks of energy companies, but bad for consumers who had to pay the higher prices at the pumps.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the energy companies had a great 2021 year, but are still well off from their all-time highs. Companies like Whitecap Resources, Tamarack Valley Energy, ARC Resources, to name a few, all had multiple increases in their stock price during the 2021 calendar year.
Was that the same with other industries, Sean?
For the most part, yes. In 2021, lumber companies like West Fraser Timber, Western Forest Products had double-digit returns as well. While the semiconductor shortage, which caused new vehicles to be delayed, still saw the majority of the semiconductor stocks continue to rise. Positions like AMD, NVIDIA, and Qualcomm saw higher share prices as well. Even the vehicle companies that were suffering these delays, such as Ford, GM, and Tesla, in getting their new cars to the market, also saw a rise in their share prices just as much, or in some cases even more.
Oh, I've seen used cars selling for a whole lot higher value than most of us would have expected. Any other highlights from the year you want to talk about, Sean?
Well, the last one I was going to leave the show with is the way we started the show in 2021. Is with COVID being on the forefront of the market's minds, and it is still no different today at the end of 2021. The latest news is that the new COVID variant called Omicron has been detected and is considered to be more transmittable than the original.
Yeah, we're hearing new information on this thing every day right now, and some telling us it might be milder, others saying it's spreading so quickly, so still a lot of uncertainty there, isn't there?
Yes, and we've even seen countries start to take more extreme measures, not allowing inbound or even outbound flights into their countries, while others are calling for more increased testing measures and potential quarantine before entering. Either way, this still has an effect on the markets as well as certain stocks.
Yeah, and from what you're seeing now late in December here, how are the markets handling the Omicron variant news?
Well, because the information is new and a lot is still unknown, we did see the markets pull back at the end of November as a result of the initial news. As more and more information comes out on the variant, we have seen the markets begin to recover and are now beginning to touch the new highs again. The question looking forward is, will there be more variants? How potent will they be? If so, how will the governments react? And then how do markets react?
Yeah, we never know, do we? Interesting times. That's all the time that we've got for our program today. Thanks so much, Sean Meschke, for taking a look back. Interesting, fun going back and reliving some of the news, some of the highlights and lowlights of the markets from 2021. I like the idea of this being an annual show going forward. Some final thoughts from you as we leave the program, Sean?
The last thing I will say is just we'll talk about the importance of financial planning. Including the investments is very important that you should always have an updated financial plan as your life changes.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're in the accumulation stage, the retirement stage, or you're developing a succession plan, having a financial plan in place will help you succeed. So if you want to have more information on this, please give us a call at 1-800-652-7472 or go to pwmprivatewealth.com.
Thanks so much for your time today, Sean Meschke. All the best over the holidays, and let's hope for better days ahead here as we head into the new year.
Thanks for having me, Brent.
You're listening to Money Sense. Money Sense was prepared by Kevin Hegedus and Kevin Hawkinson, portfolio managers for IA Private Wealth. This is not an official program of IA Private Wealth, and the opinions expressed during the show are those of the portfolio managers only and do not necessarily reflect those of IA Private Wealth. IA Private Wealth, Inc. is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and the Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. IA Private Wealth is a trademark and business name under which IA Private Wealth, Inc. operates. This show is intended for general information only. Alternative investments are not suitable for all types of investors. Please obtain independent professional advice in the context of your own particular circumstances. You've been listening to Money Sense.